Good afternoon. My name is Susan Muirhead. Happy New Year. I will be reading part one of the News Gazette, dated for this date, Tuesday, January 7th, 2020. We'll begin with the headlines for today. The first headline reads, First Report, Jeff Ford to Retire. For Judge, seeing was believing. Reaction of those he helped is what he'll miss most. This article is written by Mary Shank and is based out of Urbana. The longest-serving of Champaign County's 11 sitting judges has announced his retirement. Jeff Ford said he'd like to be remembered as the judge who helped many people change substance-abusing behaviors that caused them to run afoul of the law. On the bench almost 35 years, Ford said he'll step down at the end of the day, March 25th, after he's presided over the weekly session of drug court. The problem-solving court that has been the highlight of a career in which he's done just about every assignment a judge can have. The 68-year-old Savoy man was appointed an associate judge in July of 1985. For almost 6 years, he was assigned to the courtroom in the basement of the Champaign County Sheriff's Office at 204 East Main Street in Urbana. Slamming metal doors and booming correctional officer voices were part of the everyday milieu of the tiny, windowless courtroom where he presided over arraignments and heard preliminary hearings, divorces, small claims, and orders of protection. In February 1991, he was reassigned to preliminary hear traffic cases in a small courtroom in a building east of the main courthouse. It was located approximately where the courthouse parking lot is now, torn down to make room for the new, quote-unquote, courthouse that opened in 2002. He was in that setting until 1997, then was sent back across the street to the courtroom in the basement with the jail until 1999. It took me about 14 years to get into the main courthouse, said the man who is now able to laugh about the humble surroundings he tolerated for much of his career. Ford was appointed a circuit judge in 2005 to fill the vacancy created by the retirement of J.G. Townsend. He was elected a year later to the resident judgeship, meaning he had to run only in Champaign County and not all six counties of the Sixth Circuit. He has been retained by the voters every 6 years, last in 2018. Ford said when he ran for retention in 2018, he knew he was not willing to serve the whole 6 years, but had things he wanted to do professionally before checking out. That included seeing drug court, over which he alone has presided for 21 years, through certification by the Illinois Supreme Court. He also wanted to be available to a relatively inexperienced staff of judges. In 2018, seven of the 11 seated judges had been in the building less than 3 years, and a couple were brand new, Ford observed. I felt terrible if I was just going to walk out on them, he said. It took about 3 years for me to walk into any courtroom and say, I can do this. Ford said in the last year he's been reassured about the capabilities of the newer judges and is also confident that the certification of drug court should happen any time. What he'll miss the most, he said, is observing with his own eyes the changes in the people he's tried to help, first in traffic court by ordering treatment and counseling for alcohol abuse, and later in drug court, the kind of tough love and hoop jumping that often found him on the receiving end of criticism from defense attorneys. I've had almost 30 years of people stopping me on the street weekly, thanking me for what I did for them or their friend. It's just constant, he said, adding he applied the same concepts to juveniles in the late 1980s when he handled those kinds of cases. I had a dad who told me his son was married and has three kids. He said, thank you for what you did for him, Ford said. While he will hang up his robe, Ford intends to keep working on the Supreme Court committees that have benefited from his institutional knowledge of problem-solving courts and DUI law. Ford said his wife, Barb, has been pushing him for a while to join her in retirement. She's been retired for more than 4 years, taking care of her aging parents who live in Champaign County. Ford's parents, ages 93 and 92, live in the Chicago area, and he wants to spend more time with them as well. A double graduate of the University of Illinois with degrees in psychology from 1973 and law from 1976, Ford started his career as a Champaign County prosecutor under now presiding Judge Tom DeFantis in 1976, worked in that office until 1980, then taught and was in private practice until 1985 when he was appointed associate judge. "Then I met Barb and there was no reason to leave at all," he said. "We're coming up on 40 years together." With a new knee and a new hip having been installed during 2019, Ford is looking forward to a better 2020. The anticipated arrival in June of a first grandchild from daughter Jackie, who works locally as a social worker, only sweetens the deal. Son Ben is also married and lives locally, working as a lawyer at the U of I. Ford sent his letters December 23rd to his bosses, alerting them of his intent to retire. Supreme Court Justice Rita Garman is expected to organize a committee soon to vet applicants to replace him. And there's two pictures in the paper in regards to this article. One is on the front page of the main first section of the paper, and it's a picture of Judge Jeff Ford as he answers questions during a podcast interview with News Gazette reporter Mary Shank in 2018. And it's him sitting in front of a microphone for radio broadcast. And on the back page, where the article continues, there's a picture in the center of the page, and it's a picture of a man with a suit and a tie on. He's holding a microphone, and he's holding up a picture that is of a woman before and after. There's a before picture that says before meth, and there's a after picture that says after meth. And basically, she looks like a healthy woman in the before meth, and after meth, she doesn't look too good. She looks very malnourished and thin and gaunt. And the underneath the pictures, it says, "Words can't describe how much damage meth can do to your body." And the picture is, "Drug prevention has figured heavily into the role of Judge Jeff Ford, seen here addressing students at St. Thomas More in 2005. The next headline reads, "The closing of Stone Creek Golf Course, foreclosure. With land's future up in the air, residents wonder if proposed green space is good for property values." This article is written by Ben Sigderman and is based out of Urbana. Rumors about the status of the Stone Creek Golf Course had swirled for a few years, but some residents in the development were as surprised as anyone that it would be closing at the end of the month. Over Thanksgiving, they were advertising their 2020 rates for the golf course, said Mark Palermo, who moved about 5 years ago into his house on the 2700 block of Castle Rock Drive in the middle of the golf course. "That's why when I got the email Monday, I was like, where did this come from?" He golfs regularly and chose to live where he does, in part because I can just walk out and play a few holes. Other residents hadn't heard the news. "I just moved in on October 16th. I had no idea that that was a possibility," said Karen Decker, who lives in the 2700 block of Stone Creek Boulevard. "I'm shocked. I literally just moved in less than 3 months ago, and if they knew about it then, I'm disappointed that they did not share that," said Decker, a University of Illinois retiree. "I don't play golf, but it's nice to have a golf course," she said. "That's part of the problem," the Atkins Group said Monday when announcing that the golf course would close. "The industry has been in decline for years." It cited waning demand for golf, the escalating operating costs, and essential capital improvements that are needed. Instead, the Atkins Group has commissioned an architectural and land planning firm to redevelop it. "We are committed to the success of the master plan community of Stone Creek, but unfortunately, due to the negative financial impacts of the golf business, we are no longer able to sustain the golf course as a viable business for this area," said Spencer Atkins, son of the late Clint Atkins, who founded the Atkins Group and developed Stone Creek. Other area golf courses have seen their share of troubles. The Railside Golf Club in Gibson City was converted in 2017 from an 18-hole course to 12 holes after briefly closing, and the 18-hole Blue Needles Golf Course in Fairmount closed in 2017. Consequently, we have done a lot of work in an effort to provide a development solution that will provide more natural green open space, walking trails, and other community benefits, Atkin said. Residents will be able to review design features of the new plan in the spring, but for now, residents are left wondering what this will mean for their property values. That'll change things, that's for sure. I wonder if that will immediately devalue every piece of property along here, Decker said. We know it's probably not good for us as far as the value of our property, said Nina Heckman, who has lived on the 2700 block of Plantation Point since 2004 and also hadn't seen the announcement. She and her husband, Al, were looking for a smaller house at the time, and their house on the loop in the middle of the golf course fit the bill, even though they don't golf. We particularly liked this lot on the golf course because it has trees along the back, Heckman said. Philip Hutchell, who moved into his house in the 2800 block of Stone Creek Boulevard about a year ago, said he was bummed out as he was walking his dog Monday afternoon. It's going to drop property prices, he said. He grew up in Oakwood, lived elsewhere for a while, and then moved back to the area, and specifically chose Stone Creek. The whole attraction of the house we bought, obviously, it looks right onto the golf course, Hutchell said. I love golf. I love the scenery of a golf course, green and plush in the spring and summer. He remembered when the golf course was being built and thinking, man, that would be so awesome to live out here, if I could ever afford it, and at that time, I didn't think I could. But 18 years later, I'm living out here. As far as a public course goes, it's as nice a one as you're going to find. It's really a beautiful course, said Hutchell, who said he does pharmaceutical sales. I just fell in love with the golf course. He had also heard the rumors when he bought the house, but was still stunned that the course would be closing. I kind of thought it was just rumors, Hutchell said. I didn't think it would actually happen, but here it is. In 2018, Atkins told the News Gazette that the golf course had never made money and might not stay open past the end of the year. Later that year, he said it would stay open for at least another year. I guess we'll find out what's going to happen, Hutchell said, kind of thrown for a loop. The Atkins Group said the goal of the redevelopment planning is to focus on environmentally conscious conservation efforts that will enhance the aesthetic beauty and integrity of the property, that preserves the natural topography and open space, and that seeks to maintain and increase the high quality, integrity, and value of existing homes and remaining land within the Stone Creek community. The Atkins Group noted that it has a vested interest in making the redevelopment work, as we are still the majority owner of the remaining vacant land within the community. Urbana School Board President John Dimmitt, who has lived on the 2700 block of Plantation Point since 2005, said he was disappointed that the golf course is closing, but was looking forward to seeing what the planning firm comes up with. And Sam Phillips, who has lived in the 2700 block of Stone Creek Boulevard for about a year, hopes it works out. If they made it into a park and it looked nice, it'd be all right, said Phillips, who moved from St. Louis and works for Carl. If they develop it into upscale houses like the rest of these out there, that'd be all right. His house doesn't face the golf course, so he wasn't particularly disappointed. I didn't pay for a golf course view. The people who paid a premium to have that view of the golf courses would be a lot more upset than me, he said. My lot, I knew it was going to have houses developed around it when I bought it. As part of the transition, the restaurant currently known as Addie's and formerly as Kennedy's, the Lamplighter, and Rick's will close January 17th. The Pro Shop will also close January 31st, and the Atkins Group encouraged anyone with gift cards to use them by then. And anyone with a paid season golf pass will receive a full refund. The next headline reads, oh, and actually I take it back. In the main, or on the front page of the paper, there's a picture that's basically of the golf course and Addie's restaurant right in the center here. And also as a follow-up, it's a shame. This is a beautiful course. It's closing. Five memorable events at Stone Creek. So there's some Stone Creek follow-up here. Bob Asmussen. Confusing to me why course failed. Stone Creek Golf Club should have worked for so many reasons. Champaign-Urbana is full of players, young and old, at all skill levels. What the community always lacked was a country club level course available to the general public. Stone Creek fixed that. It was a beautiful, challenging course. When you got a par or birdie, it felt like an accomplishment. I didn't hit many great shots at the course. I'm sure I dumped more than my share of balls into the water hazard. Didn't mind a bit. At Stone Creek's busiest times, the pace never seemed rushed. A joy to play, even for a duffer like me. What happened to Stone Creek? Why did it fail? The prices were a bit high in the early days. It was more expensive than playing at the Orange and Blue courses or Lake of the Woods. But an extra few bucks for greens fees shouldn't have been a deterrent. Competition? There are many other nearby golfing options. For the public, there are 36 holes in Savoy, 18 in Mahomet, and 12 in Gibson City. And there are two country clubs in Champaign and one in Urbana. That's a whole lot of links. Golf apathy? Stone Creek got hurt as much as anything by the waning interest in the sport. The number of rounds being played are down all over. Coursers are doing the best they can to deal with the decrease in demand. They have lowered greens fees or, in Railside's case, cut the number of holes from 18 to 12. Golf involves a time commitment. 4 hours plus to play 18. Maybe food and drinks afterward. A 10 a.m. tee time means you are done about 3 p.m. The day is pretty much shot. Soon it will be gone. Another staple from the past that becomes something else. Progress. I'm going to take one more drive to the course. Got a gift card burning a hole in my wallet. Maybe I can find a shirt with a Stone Creek logo, just for old time's sake. And that's a little article by Bob Asmussen in reaction to the Stone Creek golf course closing. And he can be reached at 217-351-5233 or through email. And his email address is asmussen@newsgazette.com, A-S-M-U-S-S-E-N, at newsgazette.com. And thanks for the memories. Notable events Stone Creek Golf Course hosted in the last two decades. One last time. The Illinois men's golf team last played a competitive match in Champaign-Urbana at Stone Creek on April 14, 2018. The Illini and Bradley teed off in an 18-hole match play event, with Illinois winning 5-2. To play in front of these fans and see the smiles out on the course, UI coach Mike Small said, it was special. Home to Gill and Friends. The annual golf outing hosted by former Flying Illini Kendall Gill that benefits Cunningham Children's Home just wrapped up its 30th year, doing so last June at the U of I course in Savoy. But for a number of years in the 2000s, Gill, Lou Henson, and other well-known names in the community participated in Gill's outing at Stone Creek, just like Darren Williams did during a charity outing of his own in 2011 at the course. Postseason play. Always a popular site for regular season high school matches, including the annual Sam Wells Memorial Tournament, in honor of the late St. Thomas More and Parkland golfer who lost his battle with cancer in 2014. The venue was a frequent host in regional and sectional rounds, too, for both area boys and girls golfers looking to advance to the state tournament. Annual event. The area golf calendar is littered with events from April to October, while the Stone Creek Open never rose to local prominence like the Twin City Tournament or the U of I Open. The early August tournament always featured competitive golf. Craig Toller, a former Parkland golfer, won the final Stone Creek Open with a 10-shot victory in August of 2019. And odds and ends. The Illinois Women's Golf Program hosted the Big Ten Championships at the course in 2002, placing fifth at the tournament. Former Illini Steve Stricker, who will serve as the U.S. captain at the 2020 Ryder Cup in 9 months, frequently held a fundraiser at Stone Creek to help out the Illinois programs. The Illini Rebounders, the official booster club for the Illinois men's basketball team, regularly held its annual golf outing at Stone Creek, with its latest one last August. The next headline reads, One Winter Night, New Shelter Necessitates Higher Fundraising Goal. This article is written by Anthony Zillis and is based out of Champaign. Early on in Executive Director Rob Dalhouse III's time at CU at Home, he noticed a problem with the organization's One Winter Night, at least in perception. The event at which people spend a night in boxes on the street in downtown Champaign raised money for the needy, who the organization serves. But not enough of the homeless people were integrally involved. I've gotten a lot of positive feedback, but I also get some negative feedback, just with those people, they're just out there for the night, and they don't know how it is, Dalhouse said, and it's kind of an us and them kind of thing. You have people with an address, and the people without, you stay over here. And that's not what it's about. That's not what I want it to be. I want it to be a true community effort of those with an address and those without coming together. So Dalhouse, that's D-A-L-H-A-U-S, Dalhouse, and his staff made a push over the last 3 years to get the people that See You at Home serves through its shelters, transitional homes, and other services involved with the event. And this year, at least a dozen people who use the organization's services will be volunteering at the event, which takes place on Friday, February 7th. Obviously, it serves as a huge awareness event, and obviously a huge fundraiser for us, Dalhouse said. But the last 2 to 3 years, and especially this year, we've made it a high priority to not only engage people in the community to be a part of this event, but to engage our friends on the street to be a part of this event. We have at least a dozen of our friends on the street who are signed up to help volunteer at the event. See You at Home has set a goal of raising $350,000 for this year's event, which is $100,000 more than last year's goal. Dallas said they're currently $30,000 ahead of last year's pace when the organization raised $269,000. Much of that increase has come from larger one-time gifts. I feel over this last year, we were really planting a lot of seeds in the minds of folks in the community about the emergency shelter, especially, Dalhouse said. And so I think it's just a matter of it takes however many touch points before it kind of clicks with them. We've gotten a lot of positive media coverage, and I think that's extended our reach to the masses. And now we're seeing that pay off in the form of financial support. The reason for the increased goal is that See You at Home will partner with Austin's Place, the downtown women's shelter, to add a women's shelter to its facilities beginning in November. See You at Home added an emergency shelter last winter. Dallas said he expected expenses are $130,000 greater this year. While they're outpacing their fundraising for last year, Dalhouse said they're short on box dwellers compared to recent years and still looking for more. This year, the event will feature more musical performances mixed throughout its typical presentations. Dalhouse also said volunteers will help box dwellers engage on social media, adding to its ability to raise money online. As always, the event is a balance between the ability to show people the discomfort of living on the street and the ability to reach as many people as possible. When I first started in 2017, two of our guys on the street came up to me and they had some frustration, like, Rob, we don't even get a box, Dalhouse said. They were cordial about it for the most part. I said, we want to make this event as difficult as possible, but we also want people to come out and participate, because if nobody comes out and participates, we don't have the funds to support you throughout the year. So we make it difficult. We tell people, you can't have heaters, that kind of stuff, but we also want people to show up and support. By the end of it, both of the guys we were talking to were like, oh yeah, I totally get that. The next headline reads, United Way of Champaign County, $300,000 commitment to change community. This article is written by Deborah Pressey and is based out of Champaign. The United Way of Champaign County will invest $300,000 over 3 years to help address two glaring local health and housing issues, a lack of affordable dental care, and a need for year-round shelter for the homeless. The agency said Monday it has committed an annual $50,000 for 3 years to help Promise Healthcare cover the salary of a second dentist at the busy Smile Healthy Dental Center. Another $50,000 a year for 3 years has been awarded to See You at Home to help that organization merge its winter emergency shelter for men with the Austin's Place winter emergency shelter for women and expand to provide all-year shelter. United Way President and CEO Sue Gray said the agency's goal was to provide funding in a way that would have an immediate impact on the community. "We're so excited to do this," she said. "This is a big deal. This is $300,000 that is going to help change our community right now, and that feels really good." Both grants are being made from a pool of unrestricted donations and are separate from the funding provided to community agencies through the United Way's two-year Community Impact Grant cycle, according to the United Way. "The $150,000 going to see you at home for 3 years will be a foundational piece of the money needed to provide year-round shelter for the homeless," according to Beverly Baker, Director of Community Impact at the United Way. How soon that all-year shelter can begin will depend on where things stand this April, when the shelters are set to close for the season, and how well See You at Home does in raising money through its annual One Winter Night fundraiser event coming up February 7th, she said. As of Monday, that event had raised about one-third of its $350,000 goal, according to the event Facebook page. Promise Healthcare's Smile Healthy Dental Center makes dental care available on a sliding fee scale based on household income and size. Because of the big demand for affordable dental care, the dental program has been welcoming new child patients, but limiting dental services for adults to those who are Promise Healthcare patients and those with dental emergencies. That organization will be tracking the number of patients served, the preventative services provided to adults and children, and the number of children who are provided dental sealants, according to the United Way. Promise Healthcare will also track and report back on the number of emergency room visits that occur in Champaign County for dental pain. See You at Home will be tracking how many nights of shelter are provided, how many homeless people stay at the shelter, and costs per night to provide the shelter, according to the United Way. And now let's take a brief look at our weather forecast over the next week. This is provided to us by Greg Solier and his column on the weather front. Mostly tranquil weather generally covers the nation, except for ongoing storminess in the northwest and light precipitation, rain, and snow from the interior southeast into the mid-Atlantic and northeast. Meanwhile, a short-lived surge of cold air will overspread the northern plains and upper Midwest today before sweeping into the northeast. During the mid to late week period, precipitation will develop across many areas east of the Rockies. Heavy rain, locally 2 to 4 inches or more, could result in flooding from the mid-south into the lower Midwest, while snow could blanket portions of the Midwest and Northeast. Today's forecast, 42 degrees, mostly sunny, breezy, west wind 12 to 24 miles per hour, gusty. Wednesday, the high will be 35, the low will be 28. Sunny, more seasonal, north to northeast wind 5 to 10 miles per hour. Thursday, the high will be 50, the low will be 31. Windy, milder, periods of rain, perhaps mixed with snow. Chance of rain is at 80%. Friday, the high will be 52, the low will be 49. Cloudy, milder, occasional rain for noon. Perhaps again, late, falling temperatures in the afternoon. Chance of rain will be at 50%. And Saturday, the high will be 38, the low will be 34. Windy and colder, cloudy, periods of rain mixing with and turning to snow, falling temperatures late, chance of precipitation is at 50%. I'm Susan Muirhead, and this has been part one of the News Gazette, dated for this date, Tuesday, January 7th, 2020. I'll be back shortly to resume with part two of the News Gazette, so please stay with me. Thank you very much for listening, and I hope you have a wonderful day.